Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
And hello and welcome to the Astronomy Show right here in 103.2 Dublin City FM. Of course, we bring you the latest news and discoveries from all corners of the universe. And I'm, of course, John Dixon on my own tonight. Ben is on another mission and he'll be back again next week. And you can also catch us around the world on dublincityfm.ie. And if you're into podcast world, you can catch us on podcasts as well. And of course, we welcome any queries, comments or questions that you may have of an astronomical nature. And our email is astronomy@dublincityfm.ie. And the text line, the new one that is, if we've had a change in the last, you can also WhatsApp us on that as well on 087-179-1032. And talking about text, had one in from Hope. Good evening to you. She's over in Air in Scotland, and I'll just read it out if I can quickly for you, just waiting for you to brighten up my evening for the my shift of work. There you go, and thanks indeed for tuning our way. Now, let's go to the planets and see what's all in our skies at the moment. Quite a clear evening, and the weather's to clear up later on here in Dublin City, just not too far from the River Liffey. And if you were up, well, just before dark, just 10 to 5 this evening, you would have just seen Venus slip out of sight. And Mars is a good thing to see at the moment. It rose at 20 past 6 this evening. Jupiter is going to be around. It's a fine sight, and you'll see it very, very clearly this evening. And of course, we have the moon way, way over to the left. So if you see this bright sky, shiny thing that doesn't flicker, that is the planet Jupiter. If you want to go ahead and have a quick look at that, Saturn, it's up until 10 minutes past 11 this evening. Uranus, it's fairly good at the moment. Well, if you have a pair of binoculars or a telescope. And Neptune, you can see if you want to go deep sky viewing until 2:30 tomorrow morning. So just a quick rundown of what is actually up there. So the three beauties to see this evening, and until 11:22 this evening, you have Mars. Until 3 minutes past 3 tomorrow morning, we have Jupiter, and setting it just after 10 past 11 this evening is Saturn. Uranus, fairly good visibility. It disappears under the horizon at 7:47 tomorrow morning. And Mercury, unfortunately, it's the little elusive planet that we have. It's very close to the sun, not visible at all, so it's going to be another month or so. And Venus, unfortunately, extremely difficult to see at the moment. So that's a quick one to get out there. So you will see Jupiter, very, very bright, way over to the left. Another hour or two later, you will see Mars, that orangey, reddy colour. So those are two things to watch out. And as I say, the weather is to be pretty good in Dublin City this evening as well. Now, sunrise tomorrow morning at 7:38 and setting at 22:05. And at the moment, we're losing 3 minutes and 33 seconds of daylight, and tomorrow it'll be 3:32, the next day it'll be 3:31, so it's creeping its way down until we sneak into December, where it would only be a second or two in the daylight difference. So you have a sort of a fortnight or so where you have this lapse in getting darker or getting brighter. Now, if you're lucky enough to be able to see the moon this evening, it's most unusual actually, because it's at 100%. It's a full moon this evening, and it's most unusual for it to be on a Tuesday on our programme, and we usually get 98 or 97 or something like that, or a little bit the other way. So at the moment it is 390,600 kilometres away from us, and the next new moon will be the 23rd of November, and the next full moon, again this time sort of next month, the 8th of December. So the moon Tomorrow morning is going to set at 8:53 and rise again at 16:55, which is just 5 minutes to five in the evening, tomorrow evening. Now, let's have a little look at the Artemis probe, the Artemis moon rocket plan. It was to launch earlier on today, but unfortunately there is a subtropical storm developing in the Atlantic Ocean just at the moment. And seemingly it appears poised to head toward Kennedy Space Center. And they're sticking by the November the 14th launch, which is not so far, it's about a week's time. And that'll be good fun to watch that. So if you did miss it today, it didn't launch, unfortunately. So it will launch again on November the 14th or so, they say. So. And it's a potentially dangerous subtropical storm brewing in the Atlantic Ocean, and it's east of Florida's Space Coast, and one of those areas where they just have to be careful of the weather. Now, if you were around in other countries other than Ireland this morning, and I'll just give you the path of this, there was the last blood moon lunar eclipse, and this is the one until 2025, believe it or not. And it was in the area where it was clear, it was, sort of, if you're in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, it was absolutely bang on. If you're in a boat in the Pacific Ocean, you were complete totality. But it stretched out to Iceland on our side just a little bit. We just slipped outside to the right of it, so we didn't get to see any of the moon lunar eclipse. And the other side of the world, over in Australia, Sydney was the place to be, really, to get the full totality into the Pacific Ocean. But I did get a message from my little sister down in Adelaide this morning, and she sent me some fantastic photographs of the eclipse. And strangely enough, they're about in Adelaide, about 10 hours away ahead of us. So the photographs that she sent were absolutely mind-boggling, and she gave us the area where it nearly made it. She has been in Adelaide. If she was in Sydney, she would have got the full eclipse. But, and then she says, zoom in. And she thought she saw some stars in the background because it was so dark in the background. So I'm not sure if any of you have been speaking to any of your relatives, friends, or anybody else around the world that might have seen the eclipse earlier on. And we, unfortunately, didn't get any of it because we were just outside. So that's it until 2025, and it's a shame that it sort of happens where we aren't, but there you go. Now, if you're interested in trying to spot Uranus, I did mention earlier on that it was around all right, so seemingly the lunar occultation of the distant and faint ice giant Uranus will be visible from parts of North America and Asia. So if you are listening from that part of the world, you will see Uranus disappear from the night sky for a brief little period as the moon passes in front of the distant and faint ice giant planet. So it'll be nice and dark, so if you are pointing a binoculars or telescope towards it, this is the event that astronomers call a lunar occultation, and will just be visible from North America and parts of Asia. So that is the way it goes there. I'm just looking at the map here, and it's, yes, it's quite interesting to see it. But Uranus, unfortunately, is one of those planets that's extremely difficult to see. And it happened at 20 to 1 at GMT earlier on this side of the world. And lots of news about the SpaceX launch, but unfortunately not happening until the 14th of November. Now, the text line is always 087-179-1032. I'll be having a peep at that in just a few moments' time, just to see if there's anybody just texting our way. You can also use WhatsApp. And you're, of course, listening to The Astronomy Show on 103.2 Dublin City FM with myself, John Dixon, until 8:30 this evening. Now, do you speak extraterrestrial, ET, all that sort of stuff? What does humanity do when we discover we are not alone in the cosmos? Now, there's a big question for you. And the new international research hub at the University of St. Andrews will coordinate global expertise to prepare humanity for such an event and how we should respond. Now, evidently, they don't speak English, any of the hundreds of languages that we have here on Earth. So, while we might never learn about the existence of life beyond Earth, or even about other intelligent civilizations, there is a chance it could be detected sooner rather than later. But are we prepared? So, the new SETI post-detection hub, hosted by the Centre of Exoplanet Science and the Centre for Global Law, in St. Andrews will act as a coordinating centre for the international effort, bringing together diverse expertise across both the sciences and humanities for setting out the area that we might be looking at and sort of making small talk or big talk with aliens and anybody's out there. So I know there are a few people out there that might speak Klingon or something like that, but not for me, unfortunately. So we've been, of course, scanning the universe for any signs of life across and any type of language that might come through, being attached to it, whether it's an elaborate buzzing word, a whistling sound, or even languages that we use here. So that'd be interesting to see. So if you do come across anybody, what language do we speak to the ET guys? Now, we go out a little bit further now to the remnants of an oldest known solar system discovered a mere 90 light years from Earth here. And the oldest dead star known to have possessed a system of rocky planets like ourselves has been providing insights into the composition of worlds that formed nearly 11 billion years ago. And this particular star is so-called a white dwarf. It's a stellar corpse that ran out of hydrogen fuel in only 3 billion years after the Big Bang. And this particular one has a name. It's WDJ2147-4035, if you want to Google that. And it's the most brand newly discovered in data collection by the European Space Agency. Oh, they're not the first white dwarfs found in the rubble areas of our skies. And, of course, we're keen to see the insights and into the composition of the planets that formed within any of the solar systems that may just be out there indeed. Just going back just for a moment to the eclipse this morning to see a text in. Just can you just tell us where the full eclipse was? So just above Sydney in Australia, and it crept down and then hit the west coast of America, and then of course it gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, and you have got seen it up maybe just as far as Iceland. And all this started this morning at 8:02 GMT, which is our time, and finished at 13:50. So there was a good long spell of time to watch that as well, but definitely the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And New Zealand would have been another good place to see it as well. It was in the total darkness for a little while as well. So there we go. Now, I caught this earlier on. If you're into the world of astrophotography, you know, I know Ben has spoken to this. I have spoken about this as well. And it's quite a difficult thing to do, because once you point your camera from a tripod, the Earth moves quite quickly. In fact, where we are, about 750 miles an hour. And at the equator, it's 1,000 miles per hour, hence the 24 hours to go around a day. And if you're looking for a star tracker, here's a couple. And I know the Christmas word is coming up soon. In fact, it's only 47 days, or less than 47 days now, before it arrives. So we have a little roundup of the best star trackers for astrophotography for the wide field and deep sky imaging. So, like a telescope, what happens with this? You get this gadget, and it attaches to a tripod, and it moves. You just set it to your latitude and longitude, etc., and it follows the movement of the Earth, so whatever you're taking doesn't move in the viewfinder. So, some things to look out for from some cheap ones, or the economy ones, as I would call them. There is a thing called the Optron Sky Tracker Pro. This one starts at €329. And there is an iOptron Sky Guider, which is a little bit more expensive, and it's the Sky Guider Pro as well. It's €488 thereabouts. And we have a thing called Vixen Optics Polary Star Tracker, and you can catch that on Amazon at £403. And there's another one there. It's called a Skywatcher Star Adventure Mini, and it's $379. So they're not that expensive until you get to this one, which is the Benro Polaris. Now, this is the man. This is this has all the singing, all dancing, everything. And if you Google that, it's the Benro, B-E-N-R-O Polaris. It's £900, which is about €1,000 on this side of the planet. So I could go into the deep ones. So really, on the top of the list would be the iOptron Skyguider Pro. It's given 5 stars. It weighs 1.5 kilos, so it's not too bad for sitting on the top of a tripod. And it's got a battery life of 20 hours, so that's probably the one that I would give to you. There's the Star Adventure Mini gets 4 stars. But, we'll just say that name again. The iOptron Skyguider Pro. And it is €488 thereabouts. Probably around 5 when you get the postage and all that sort of stuff. Now, unfortunately, when we slip to Mars, the InSight spacecraft on Mars is unfortunately nearing its final days. It's nearing the end of its life after 4 years on Mars. It arrived on the Red Planet in 2018, and it was tested and sent to study its crust, its mantle and core. And because of the heavy dust buildup of its solar panels, the chief source of its power supply, of course, is bringing it within weeks of becoming inoperable. Now, every now and again, it can be lucky, and they get these thing called the dust devils on Mars, which are fantastic little things that spin and clean dust off solar panels. But over the 4 years, it hasn't had too much of that. So the officials said that the lander is operating at only about 20%. Of its previous power level. And the space agency details its plans for InSight before it ultimately goes offline. And I wonder if it does go offline, they set it to sleep for a while, and would it go completely? Or will one of the dust devils come back and whirl around the place and just give it a little bit of an out clean, and off we go again? So there are 20 to 30 technicians and scientists collecting data beneath the Mars surface, including seismic activity, and it has detected to date 1,300 Mars quakes, which have been recorded since they landed on November the 26th in 2018. But before its InSight mission is finished, the team will store all of the data collected, eventually making it available to researchers around the world, which will be great for you and I. And much has been learned about the soil, core, and even weather on Mars. And this will be really sad, because going back to 2004, we had 2 other Mars landers, Spirit and Opportunity. Unfortunately, Spirit, they lost control of it. It slid down a sand dune, which pointed its solar panels away from the sun, and it unfortunately ceased to operate about 10 years now. I can't remember the actual date, but it's most unfortunate that these things happen, and they're quite a little expensive piece of kit. So it's really amazing to see how well it's doing, but we'll keep an eye on it over the next couple of weeks, and that's really all they say that it will have to live on the surface of Mars. You're tuned to The Astronomy Show, 103.2 Dublin City FM. John Dixon here. And the text lines 087-179-1032, if you'd like to say hi or pass on a message at all to anyone. Now, here's a little word on the Chinese side of the space race. One of the rockets re-enters the Earth's atmosphere in an uncontrolled fall over the Pacific Ocean. And this particular rocket weighed 23 tons, and it made an uncontrolled descent last Friday. And the U.S. Space Command tweeted a confirmation that the rocket re-entered the Earth's atmosphere over the South Central Pacific Ocean at 4:01 a.m. last Friday, which would have been another 5 hours ahead for us, so that's about 9. 4 and 5 is not, yes, there we go, 9 a.m. in the morning for us. So this particular rocket was only launched on October the 31st, and it was carrying the third and final module for the Chang'eong space station. Much of the debris is expected, was expected to burn up as it passed through the Earth's atmosphere, and they reckon that a piece of space junk, I suppose we could call it, there's a general rule of thumb that 20 to 40% of the mass of the large object will reach the ground. Unfortunately, it won't. Well, it didn't, fortunately. It's landed in the Indian Ocean, so most of it did burn up, and I'm sure they knew exactly where that fell as well. Now, if you're into black holes, normally in any sort of, well, I suppose the Milky Way here would they normally say one, but astronomers using the International Gemini Observatory have discovered the closest known black hole to Earth. This is the first unambiguous detected of a dormant stellar mass black hole in the Milky Way, and its close proximity to Earth is a mere 1,600 light years away from us here. And that's not too far in astronomical terms. And this has offered an intriguing target to study in the advance of our understanding of the evolution of binary stars. Now, a black hole is where you have a superstar, probably hundreds of times the size of our own sun, and it eventually runs out of fuel and then collapses in and itself, explodes, and then it sucks back into itself and takes everything with it into it. That's probably one of the easiest ways of describing a black hole. So in the Milky Way, there are about 100 million black holes, they reckon. And years ago, they would have thought there was only a handful. And we've only detected a handful, confirmed to date. But they reckon there are quite a number in the Milky Way waiting, and a load more waiting to be detected. So there we go. So black holes, roughly 100 times the mass of the sun, and just dying and collapsing, and then nothing escapes. Nothing at all whatsoever. Now, if you're into the Boeing Starliner space flight, unfortunately, this is the first manned flight of Boeing Starliner space capsule. It's been postponed again, and it's now scheduled for April next. NASA announced on Thursday last, and the U.S. Space Agency wants to establish a second means of transport to the ISS, that's the International Space Station, for its astronauts, with the SpaceX capsule already in service. So the Boeing operation has suffered a series of setbacks that significantly delayed its program, including a failed test flight in 2019. And the company finally succeeded in May 2022 in reaching the ISS for the first time, which is a big, big milestone for them, without, of course, a crew on board. So they're looking to send people up on this next April. So with a bit of luck and fingers crossed, this will happen. And sticking with China just for the moment, it's completed its in-orbit maneuver to complete the Chang'eong space station assembly. Now, if you remember last week, they brought up, courtesy of the unfortunate uncontrolled entry of the space rocket that brought it up, and it's all together, and the astronauts have entered China's Mengqin Lab module for its first time, and it was last Thursday afternoon, several hours after the completion of the station's in-orbit assembly. Now, this is very interesting for the Chinese, and it's fantastic to see what's in this. It's the space station looks a little bit more different than the International Space Station. Slightly more modern, I think, because when you look at our ISS up there, there are things floating everywhere. There's Velcro with sleeping bags to the walls, and computers hanging by Velcro, and all sorts of things, and food pockets here, and you name it. But this one looks a little bit more, I suppose, pleasing to the eye, but I suppose it is quite a new area of space as well. So last Thursday morning, the Mengqin was moved from the axial orbit of the Chang'eong station's Tianhe core to a radial port on the core module in an hour-long transpositioning operation that finished at 9:32 their time way over there, which is about 10 hours away, something like that. So just before we go, Perseverance, just going back to Mars as well, they have sealed up the sample tube number 14, which is called MAGEIK, M-A-G-E-I-K, and it's a rock core-filled sample tube, and unfortunately it didn't release from its dispenser correctly, but I think things are okay there now at this stage, and everything seems to be okay, so they're going to bring those back to Earth, and we'll give you, as we get closer, the times and things of the re-entry back in here. So there's a spacecraft going up to pick it up and just throw it into our atmosphere, let it come down into the atmosphere, and we'll pick it up as well. Anyway, that's just about it from me for this evening. Thank you indeed for your company. And that email address again for comments and questions is astronomy@dublincityfm.ie. Thanks as ever to James Sweeney for making the show available as a podcast, and indeed to Conor Lennon for making it available on astronomy.ie. That's all from me, John Dixon, from this particular edition of the Astronomy Show here in 103.2 Dublin City FM. Now, coming up shortly, we have Hello China, where you can get your chance to start learning about the ways of China. Threads with Bren Linnett at 9 p.m. We have Ear to the Globe with Nigel Wood with his world music. That's an interesting program to listen to if you haven't tuned in as well. And Midnight After Hours with Dave Barry with some jazz, blues and soul until 2 a.m. So please join myself and Ben same time next week. And we'll be back with the latest news from all around the universe. Until then, take care of each other. Thanks for listening. Say good night, John, and a very good night, John. Bye bye. And all that is now, and all that is gone, and all that's to come, and everything under the sun is in view, but the sun is eclipsed by the moon. Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.